This is a great day for astronomers. Mars and Earth, in their swing around the sun, come within 34 million miles of one another, the closest in 60,000 years. Stargazers are rejoicing, and so are others, because Mars exists both in space and in our imaginations. As Rory Johnston reports, people just seem fascinated with the planet.
Step outside one of these nights and you'll see what inspired Gustav Holst to write that stirring music. It's the brightest thing in the sky. Since the dawn of time, people have had interesting ideas about Mars. But why did the ancients name it after the Roman god of war? Scott Cardell from Palomar Observatory in California.
Mars was given the name for the god of war simply because of its red color. It invokes blood. You look at Jupiter and Venus, they're always very bright and they don't change a lot in their brightness. But Mars, because we have times when we're really close, like this year, and times when we're very much not, undergoes big changes in brightness. And so now we're at a time when it's very bright, the color is very prominent in the sky, and I'm sure that's what made people think of the god of war.
So how did the Romans see this god? Marion MacDonald is professor of classics at University of California, San Diego.
Mars was a very disagreeable god, a god of war, and he also was a symbol of attacks coming from other people because he sided with the Trojans in Homer's Iliad. I mean, this is, makes it so fascinating for our time right now where we're having such terrible things happening in Israel, terrible things happening in Iraq, that Mars is the closest that it ever has been.
Science, with the help of Copernicus and Kepler, got rid of the ancient myths about Mars. But then we invented some new myths in their place, like life on Mars, and Hollywood followed suit.
We come in peace. We come in peace.
So where did the idea of little green men come from? Well, Boston, actually. You know Boston, the home of the bean and the cod, where the Lowells speak only to Cabots, and the Cabots speak only to God. Percival Lowell was one of those aristocratic Bostonians, born in 1855, who was wild about astronomy. This was in the days when science was fashionable. He looked at Mars when it was close by, and he was sure that he could see canals. Scott Cardell again.
The idea for the canals actually first originated with an astronomer called Schiaparelli, and he kind of thought they were just maybe a natural phenomenon, which he called channels. He called them canali, which really was for channels. And Percival Lowell thought they were canals. And then when he started looking at Mars, he saw these features, and he didn't even remotely think they were natural. He thought they were clearly caused by some sort of intelligent life there. He did see things that others didn't, though.
Other people looked at Mars, and some said they could see the canals, and others said absolutely not.
Percival Lowell was not even shy about the idea that there's intelligent life. In some of his writings, he just comes right out and says that there clearly is intelligent civilization there. And he was of the opinion that Mars was sort of a dying desert world, and we could look and see the ice caps. And what his idea was that there was ices frozen at the North and South Pole on Mars, and that every spring there would be melting, and these civilizations were trying to capture that meltwater and bring it to places where they could do agriculture.
Finally, in 1965, a Mariner space probe sent back close-up pictures of Mars with no canals at all, much to the disappointment of many. But some myths will never die. We still have Marvin the Martian. For Day to Day, I'm Rory Johnston.
What's up, Doc?
That is an interplanetary flying space saucer. We are returning to Mars in it.
We?
Yes. Isn't it delightful?
This is Day to Day from NPR News.